The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It is game day for the Arizona Cardinals. They play Dallas tonight. Welcome on in. We will have Josh Weinfuss with us from ESPN. Josh wrote a terrific piece today on Cliff Kingsbury, a deep dive piece. It's not often that I say that there's something better than what we have up on our site. I mean, I'm one of those. I see in social media where media outlets just tell their people, promote your stuff, don't promote what anybody else does. And I just think that's bull. Somebody does good work at other outlets, acknowledge it. You can't do it all the time. But Josh Weinfuss spent over a year working on this Cardinal coach Cliff Kingsbury's beautiful mind story. It's on ESPN.com. You should go read it. You really should. Wait till the show's over. But Josh is going to join us on this story and also on tonight's Cardinals Cowboys game. Eric is on assignment today, and he's going to be on assignment tomorrow, too. I send people out on assignments when I see some things a little bit different and off the beaten path that I like them to go chase and pursue. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial, they took care of me when I went in this last time. I went in and made some deposits, and I got a pen, a nice pen. And they have people there that are very friendly when you walk in. You ever walk into a credit union or you walk into a financial institution and you just kind of feel like I'm number so-and-so on somebody's day and they're just taking or helping you or trying to help you or you're just in their way, right? I've never felt that at Desert Financial Credit Union. And that's why we do our business there at Sports 360 AZ. Desert Financial Credit Union, we appreciate their support, taking care of us, taking care of our business, Desert Financial Credit Union. Josh Weinfuss, ESPN.com, comes up here in a few minutes. I'm kind of torn on the news cycle today because Cody Bellinger, what he did last night, and of course, Cody went to Hamilton High School. He still gives back to Hamilton High School. His dad still works at Hamilton High School, Clay, who's a firefighter. And so when I see a local kid do something like last night where the Dodgers go on to the World Series and they beat the Braves, I don't know the severity of Cody's shoulder in the celebration. I'm sure if you saw it afterwards, that there's got to be some concern about it. But you're going to have the Dodgers and Rays, and that story's on my mind today. But obviously tonight, Cardinals-Cowboys. The Cowboys games were shown here in Arizona for years and years and years before the Cardinals moved here. So there are generations of people that just grew up as Cowboy fans. And then the bandwagon fans are out there, people that just want to support the Cowboys when they win. And then there's the humble brag Cowboy fans, I call them. They're the ones that are like, yep, we're the Cowboys, and we got it all figured out. And that Jerry Jones, he's great. And well, no, he's not. And they've not been great. So you have the Cowboys with a backup quarterback for the first time. I think it's 74 straight games Dak Prescott had started. He's out. He's gone. Andy Dalton gets the start tonight against the Cardinals. Cardinals do not have Chandler Jones. Cardinals' Devon Kennard's nicked up. There's other injuries that are out of the field. Yet, on the other side of the coin, you have Kyler Murray returning home. 16 miles away from the stadium is where he grew up, from the stadium that they're playing in tonight. He has never lost in that stadium. He went undefeated in high school. He won one game when he was at Oklahoma in that stadium. So he's 6-0 and growing up right there. The Dallas defense stinks. They're giving up 36 points per game. And so you look at it and you say, backup quarterback, defense that can't stop anybody to save their life in Dallas. The Cardinals should go in there. The Cardinals should put up big points. The Cardinals should win, right? I would think so. Vegas has them favored as on the road favorites tonight. But then the other side of me says, well, Kenyon Drake's been running in cement. At some point, the Cowboys are going to figure out how to not give up big play after big play after big play. Yeah, it's the backup quarterback, but he's been around, and he wasn't bad in Cincinnati. The team was bad around him in Cincinnati. Huge difference. And so I look at both sides of this game today, and then there's the Cliff Kingsbury angle. So tonight they're going to play up big time on Monday Night Football, the Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray marriage and how they're together and how they came in and how they're trying to get things turned around and all that stuff. But I would rather look at Kingsbury straight on this. because after tonight, the Cardinals play Seattle. And so you have this game that most fans that follow the Cardinals are going to also follow the Cowboys, not the same team, but they will be rooting for Cowboys. And so if the Cowboys-Cardinals game doesn't go the Cardinals' way, Cardinal fans are going to be upset about that. Not that I get all wound up about fans. It's just a fact in this community. If the Cardinals win tonight, tomorrow I'll be like, oh, my gosh, everything is great. And I'm going to sit here and say, well, guess what? 6 days from now, you have a divisional game against Russell Wilson, who's coming off a bye, who's playing better than practically anybody in the entire National Football League. And so you have to go take care of business in this game tonight and just move on to the next. Lose tonight's game, you're going to be sitting there with three losses already this season. And you're not even to the halfway point. And if you look within the NFC West and you see how bad the NFC East is, you could see three teams come out of the NFC West this year. You really could. And the Cardinals still have to go through Seattle twice here in the next 4 weeks. That's the other side of this. It's two games against the Seahawks with Miami and Buffalo sandwiched in there. And Miami's getting better. They're not a joke. And Buffalo certainly isn't a joke. They have Kansas City later today. So there's a lot riding on this. You know, in town, it's all the perception stuff about Cowboys. Me, it's the start of a stretch where, yeah, nationally televised game to show what Arizona is all about with this coach and this quarterback and this wide receiver. Sexy, sure. 6 days from now, bigger game. No question. No question about it. And is this team ready to do that? They've lost Chandler Jones for the season. So what happens to the defense tonight? And Dallas giving up 36 points a game, are they going to continue to do that? Or at some point, do they put together an effort that shuts down another team? Just because the Cardinals won at the Jets last week, the Jets stink. So I'm not making anything out of that. They should win this game tonight. They really should. And it would be a very big disappointment, a lead balloon here in the Valley if they lose this game. And if you lose this game and you don't take care of business against Seattle, now the wheels are coming off. And that's what they have here in the next six days. So it's big. I feel like while the NFL this weekend, I was in Chicago this weekend. Went there to go visit my daughter with my wife, and we went downtown, and the Bears-Panthers were on. We saw some college on Saturday night, Georgia and Alabama. We're sitting outside. It's a nice night in Chicago, really enjoying ourselves, watching some college football. They're all geeked up about the Bears. I don't think the Bears are anything great. But they're starting to play well together. They look like a team, again, in the NFC that you just start going down the list. How many teams are better than the Arizona Cardinals right now in the NFC? And I would put the Chicago Bears in front of them, even with Nick Foles at quarterback. The baseball playoffs last night, I have not found myself attracted to sitting and watching Tampa Bay. I'll get into that a little bit later. And I've not found myself really all that wound up about the Atlanta Braves. So I'm glad that the Dodgers won. Otherwise, I would have no interest. And it's already one of the lowest rated postseasons in the history of the game, but there's more to it than that. So in that a little bit later, a legend in broadcasting is retiring today. A legend, I mean, a voice that if you're a hockey fan and I say Doc Emmerich said, I've had enough. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that. And a writer who did what, this is what I want to do. A writer who passed away yesterday at 100 years of age. A columnist, if you're from Minneapolis, you know about Sid Hartman. He passed away yesterday. So I'll talk about that a little bit later on as well. But up next, Joss Weinfuss, ESPN.com. Terrific piece that he published today on Cliff Kingsbury, Cardinals Cowboys tonight. We're back next. Right, I mentioned in the intro about Arizona Cardinals coach Cliff Kingsbury's beautiful mind published today on ESPN.com, written by Joss Weinfuss, Cardinal Insider with ESPN.com. It's a terrific deep dive. If you're going to take time today getting ready for tonight's Cardinals-Cowboys game to click on something, anything, even stuff over what we have. This is really good. This is much better. It just is. And it's terrific. Joss has put in a lot of time. He joins us for a couple of minutes on the story about Cliff Kingsbury, one. Two, about tonight's game. let's just start with the amount of time and effort. This is not something you just sat down on Friday afternoon and said, hey, let's do a story on Cliff Kingsbury.
Hey, Brad. Well, first, thanks for having me. No, I did not take, it did not just, I didn't sit down on Friday and start working on this story. It's been in the works for well over a year. There's just, the amount of people that I had to talk to just took a long time to get. And then, you know, this type of story, you're not really up against a deadline. So you wanted it to fit in a spot that would kind of make sense in terms of a hook. In Monday Night Football, back in Texas, back in Dallas, not that, you know, not terribly far from where Cliff Kingsbury grew up in New Braunfels, Texas, kind of right outside San Antonio. It just seemed to be the perfect time to roll this story out. But no, I talked to a lot of people from his past, whether that's his childhood. Talked to one of his childhood best friends. I talked to people that coached with him at Texas Tech, Texas A&M, at Houston. And it just kind of painted a picture of where he developed this offensive creativity that he's become known for. Obviously, when people hear Cliff Kingsbury, they think air raid. But he's not your typical or prototypical air raid coach. Sure, he comes from the Mike Leach tree, but he runs his version of the air raid. And I think people will be interested to find out where his version of the air raid come from, because it's not where you would think. So yeah, please go read the story. I'm proud of it. It took me a long time to do it, I think it's worth your time.
Absolutely. Again, it's Arizona Cardinals coach Cliff Kingsbury's Beautiful Mind. It's up on ESPN.com. Josh Weinfuss with us for a couple of minutes. What did you learn about Cliff that you didn't know going into this story that you thought, oh, I got this pretty well figured out, offensive mind? And they're like, no, I don't even know anything about this guy.
A couple of things. And one of them was how willing he was to adapt to his quarterbacks. For example, when he went to Texas A&M, he inherited this quarterback people know as Johnny Football. You know, Johnny Manziel was his quarterback there. And he took the offense that he ran at Houston very successfully was Case Keenum, who by time Case Keenum graduated was probably the most prolific quarterback in college football history. And he brought that scheme to Texas A&M, but Johnny Manziel isn't the same quarterback that Case Keenum is. And he adapted it to fit what Manziel could do. And obviously he went on to win the Heisman Trophy that year. And then just kind of where Cliff got his stuff. He was on a fishing trip one day and a play came to him. He steals a lot of stuff from other teams. He watches a ton of tape. And, you know, for example, the 4th-and-1 play against Washington, and I think it was week two, when they rolled out Chris Streveler, the backup quarterback, it was a shift of, you know, a lot of shifting, a lot of motion. And they went from Kyler Murray in the shotgun to Chris Streveler under center. He got that play from watching Navy's bowl game last year. So he's willing to take something from everybody, whether high school, small colleges. So just kind of that lack of an ego that I think a lot of coaches on the professional and college level have, where they're not willing to do certain things. Cliff Kingsbury doesn't care. If the play works, if someone else designed it, created it, he does not care. He's willing to use it.
So in the title, it says Beautiful Mind. So that was a great movie. And does it mean he's awkward, odd, he's got too much going on, Rain Man? I don't know. I mean, fill me in on that side.
Yeah, so we went with The Beautiful Mind because that was it was a quote from one of the coaches that coached with him, one of his former assistants, just kind of said that this guy thinks the way his mind works is like a beautiful mind, which to me meant that he's just so smart. There's so many things going on inside, and the way he sees the game is so different than other people that it just kind of leads to this genius mentality.
That's good. I'm not going to give away too much more than that. Just make sure you go check it out today. Josh put a lot of work into it. Arizona Cardinals head coach Cliff Kingsbury's Beautiful Mind. Josh joins us with the Cardinals playing the Cowboys tonight. All right. I've said this last week or so, and it ties into Kingsbury. Year one, all right. He inherited a bad situation. The average lifespan of a Cardinal coach that doesn't have the last name of Arians or Wisenhunt is about 3 years. He's coming up to about a year and a half. He has a stretch of the Cowboys, Seattle twice, Buffalo, Miami's in there. What do we need to see here? Like the losing record, you know, the loss of the Lions was befuddling. Have we determined that this guy is going to make it happen in the NFL?
That is the Cardinals' hope that he's going to make it happen. We have not determined anything at this point. You know, I think looking back on it, the loss to Detroit and the loss to Carolina are going to be very bad losses. I think when we sit back at the end of 2020 and review this season, they needed those wins to head into this game at 5-0. They should be 5-0 right now. I think they have the individual talent. They have the scheme on both sides of the ball to be that good, to be that successful. And with the upcoming schedule, like you pointed out, in the way that this division's shaping up, they can't afford to lose that many more games. So This game's very important, not just kind of for the reputation of this team, but for their standing, you know, in the NFC and especially the NFC West. So they need to win this game. But going back to what kind of your point, I think if he ends this season, Cliff Kingsbury does, with 5 or 6 wins, next year's going to have to be a 10-win season. It's going to have to be. And if it's not, then I think a lot of people are going to look at, you know, what do you do now? Do you just – how long do you as a franchise, do you let him win 6, 7, 8, 9 games? And it's 9-7 consistently kind of what they want, especially coming off of what Arians did here for 5 years. So this year is going to be very important in kind of the short-term trajectory of Cliff Kingsbury's stay in Arizona.
Well, and I think I really agree with you on that, because if you lay an egg on Monday Night Football and then you turn around and play Russell Wilson next Sunday, and you and I are sitting here a week from now with 2 losses – I think we're going to be sitting here saying the question I'm throwing out, and I threw it out last week to Peter King, and I'm throwing it out to you. This question is going to have to be asked a week from now, in my opinion. If they go out and they split these 2 games, okay, fine. If you go through this stretch of games where it's a murderer's row right now. Nobody knew Buffalo was going to be this good. Miami's Coach Flores getting it together down there. And you have Seattle twice. Nobody can go into this and say, well, you get your doors blown out by Dallas with a backup quarterback and Seattle boat races you. I'm just telling you, there's going to be doom and gloom in Arizona.
If the Cardinals lose this game and they get blown out, I kind of hate to say it, but this season might start going downhill very quickly. And that kind of might be it for 2020. I don't see a situation where they can rebound if they lose this game and they can't win the next few games where they will make the playoffs or they're going to have the type of season where they want to feel good about it. They need to win this game. Hold on, sorry.
Is that Cliff saying, hey, man, what are you guys what are you guys debating about me for, man? I'm Cliff Kingsbury. You wrote this great story on me, you know?
I mean, if they win this game, and they, in my opinion, they need to split with the Seahawks.
Yeah. Yes,
but if they lose this game, they lose the next game. You're sitting at what, 3-4? It's not the situation that they want. I mean, it's not a conducive situation A, to making the playoffs, and B, to finishing the season on a strong note. Is really what it comes down to.
Well, and add to that, Josh, you've already lost Chandler Jones, so you're going to be sitting there tonight looking at that situation. Devon Kennard, he's nicked up a little bit. Thompson on the back end. I mean, there's injuries that are now starting to add up. And then you flip over to Kyler. And Kenyon Drake's been running in cement. So is Chase Edmonds really going to be the guy that moves forward and grabs a hold of that offense? Kyler going home tonight. It's a great story. What was it? 16 miles from the stadium is where he grew up. He's never lost in that stadium. So there's terrific angles all around. I just think there's a sense of urgency for this team to come off of this game, because I don't want to hear about, well, they beat the Jets. The Jets stink, and there's no other way to put it. And so impress me tonight. If you lose on the last second on a field goal, I'm not calling it the end of the world, but Dallas gives up 35 points a game. You can't score against Dallas tonight? Come on.
I'll take it one step further. If this offense can't get going in the next few weeks, I think we're going to have to take a long, hard look at, is Cliff Kingsbury the right choice? I mean, he was the hot commodity, right? He was the sexy choice when they went out and fired Steve Wilks, because he was the great offensive mind, and Michael Bidwell wanted to have somebody on that Sean McVay level. Well, if this offense cannot find its rhythm a year and a half in, at what point is it going to find its rhythm? And sure, we can use the excuse of no training or of a weird training camp, no OTAs, no mini camp, only for so long. But when you have the reigning rookie of the year in Kyler Murray, you have a first ballot Hall of Famer in Larry Fitzgerald, you have arguably the best wide receiver in the game right now in DeAndre Hopkins. You have a great number three in Christian Kirk, and you have a pretty okay running back duo in Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds. This offense should be rocking and rolling. They're very different than most offenses in the NFL. Their tempo, it will wear out a defense very quickly. But yet, we don't see them going up-tempo as often as I think they should. And I think
But you could flip that around and say Gallup and Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb are a better threesome than what the Arizona Cardinals are rolling out. And yeah, Fitz is a future Hall of Famer, there's no question. But I don't think Larry's going to want to sign up for two catches for 4 yards for $11 million again next year. You know, I mean, this is...
But if it's $11 million, he might say...
It's $11 million, he'll take the 11. I don't know if the Cardinals would want to do that, right? But on this big stage tonight, this is a big stage tonight for Larry. Hopkins is going to shine. We got it. He wants to send a message to everybody and their brother, and he's doing that. But Larry, so far, they've not thrown much to him. It's been a pretty pedestrian season for Larry Fitzgerald. It's not Emmett Smith at the end for the Cardinals. I'm not throwing dirt on him. But tonight's one of those deals. You know this about Fitz. He wants to be fed a little bit. And so...
This is the type of game on a national stage with these storylines. Kyler Murray going back to where he won his three straight high school championships. Cliff Kingsbury going back to Texas. This offense needs to explode tonight for the Cardinals' sake. They need to put up 30, 40 points. They need to look nearly flawless. Kyler needs to look great. And then all these topics are going to be put to bed. But if they don't, we come back next week and we start in on this again, because at some point this offense needs to get going. And it really needs to happen tonight for their sake.
Okay, so I'm going to move off of the Dallas game and look at Seattle. If you can focus on Seattle just for a bit and what you've seen out of them and how far in front are they from where Arizona is as a team right now at this point of the season?
I mean, two words, Russell Wilson. I mean, he's playing at such a high level right now. I mean, an MVP level. What he could do to this defense is kind of scary when you think about it. No Chandler Jones. I mean, the pass rush is good, but Chandler Jones made it great. The issues in the secondary, there's a chance he could pick this defense apart. Now, I do think that Arizona has the individual players to disrupt him, as we've seen them do in the last couple of years. So they can stick to that game plan. I mean, they did go up there last year and beat him. Granted, it was a different Seahawks team. But we've seen over the years that the Cardinals do know how to get into Russell's head. They do know how to make sure he doesn't beat them in certain ways. Now, all that being said, Russell Wilson's a different quarterback now than he was a couple of years ago. That's for sure. But their defense is very good. So how will Kyler handle that? The game has slowed down for him, but this Seahawks team is obviously rocking and rolling. And the Cardinals need to figure out a way to not just slow down Russell Wilson. They need to figure out a way to neutralize his defense, which is playing very well. And as of right now, I just don't know how that happens.
All right. What are you writing about tonight? A win or a loss? What are you writing about? What do you think is going to happen here?
I do think they win. I think this is the way that the Cowboys have been allowing points, that it is kind of that type of game where the Cardinals can go in there and score 35, 40 points. But at the same time, I'm not going to be surprised if Arizona gets blown out. You know, this team as a road team just isn't reliable enough for me to sit here and guarantee a win. So I think I'm not going to be surprised if they go out and score 42. I'm not going to be surprised if they score 17 and lose.
All right. That's very safe. I like that. Good work on this story on Cliff. And I appreciate your time here on game day. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Josh Weinfuss with us, ESPN.com. Again, it's Arizona Cardinal coach Cliff Kingsbury's Beautiful Mind. It is on ESPN.com. Go read it. Go click. It's going to keep us all happy and employed. There you go. We're back with more after this timeout. So there's two names in broadcasting or in media I want to talk about today. Doc Emrick is retiring from the NHL and NBC. Doc Emrick, when we talk about play-by-play, and hockey is not as mainstream, sorry hockey guys, it's just not, as let's say Al Michaels doing a Sunday night NFL game. or Kirk Gowdy back in the day, or Brent Musburger in his prime, or so on and so on and so on. But when Doc Emrick does hockey, there's nothing bigger. And he's so good. And I never, ever, ever hear him screw up. And his enthusiasm has me drawn in. And so Doc Emrick decides to punch his ticket and walk away. Sid Hartman passed away yesterday at the age of 100. Why do I bring Sid up today? Because Sid is what I want to be. Sid wrote for 70-plus years and got started in the newspaper business and passed it down to his family. I don't know if I want to do that. But he just wrote about Minnesota. And he wrote about high school, college, pro. And he was a wealth of knowledge, and he did it all the way to last week where he did Adam Thielen as his last column, last Thursday, the wide receiver for the Vikings. And he had an assistant who'd worked with him at the newspaper for the last 15 years that helped do the interviews because Sid's health was failing. He couldn't hear any longer. And he did the column last Thursday, and he passed away on Sunday, 100 years old, did nothing but cover sports. I want to do that. These people that say, oh, don't you want to retire? What are you kidding me? Like I work? Serious? You know, the idea of going out and playing golf or chasing around grandkids or hanging around with people who just want to bitch about this and that, doesn't do anything for me. Like I look at Sid Hartman and say, what a great life. What a great life. And those of you that are from up in Minneapolis, am I speaking your language when it comes to Sid Hartman and Minnesota sports? You know, that's something else for him. What a terrific run. The baseball playoff ratings are not good. The NBA playoff ratings were not good. The NHL playoff ratings were not good. And in my opinion, it had nothing to do with Black Lives Matter. Nothing to do with that. It had everything to do with entirely too much sports on. I think that when you have cannibalization in sports media, like last night, are you going to watch the 49ers and the Rams, or are you going to watch the Dodgers and Braves Game 7? Now, this is usually what happens in October, where you have the baseball playoffs that cross over with the NFL. I get that. But up until last Sunday, just 8 days ago, we had the NBA going. And 2 weeks earlier, we had the NHL still going. And I think there is a certain amount of fatigue. I think people obviously are concerned with what's going to happen in the election. I think people are very concerned about their families and their communities with Corona starting to ramp back up again. And so you add it all together, and the baseball playoff numbers aren't good. I don't care. There's still millions of people that watch it. It just may not be the tens of millions that watch it. When people are like, oh, the ratings are down. Yeah, I'm sorry. Only 12 million people watch the game versus 22 million. Those 12 million, that doesn't mean anything. That's a speck. That's a fly. No, that's not how it works in our business. So to me, Dodgers-Tampa Bay. So Tampa Bay has very good pitchers. We're going to have Pedro Gomez on with us tomorrow to preview the World Series. Game one's tomorrow night. They're going to get right into this. Tampa Bay has terrific starting pitching. Tampa Bay has never won a World Series. Then you have the Dodgers, who have not won a World Series since 1988, even though they have all the money in the world to throw at teams. They've gone through bad ownership and bad management, like a lot of sports teams do. But then they've just flat failed to get mission accomplished, which everybody is saying, just win a title in L.A. With the Lakers having now won a title and the Dodgers on the doorstep and the Rams playing in the NFC West trying to be the top team, and USC starts in a couple of weeks, and UCLA starts in a couple of weeks, and who am I leaving out? That market, much like ours, we have a little bit of everything. If you don't win and win big, they're just going to flip and go pay attention to something else. In the case of the Dodgers, like when they're down 3-1 in that series, I'm thinking, okay, they're going to punch Dave Roberts' ticket. He's going to get fired because they've had a good run with him. And it may be time to move on from Clayton Kershaw. It's not the best way for things to end for Kershaw out in Los Angeles. I'm a big fan of Clayton Kershaw. I really like him. Obviously, Cody Bellinger's story should resonate with you here in Arizona. It really should. I was texting this morning with Mike Woods, the head baseball coach over at Hamilton High School, and a couple other people over at Hamilton that were there and are there when Cody was there. And Cody still gives back to the team. He still plays in their annual charity golf tournament. He still gives gear to the kids. He's still very ingrained in Hamilton High School baseball. One story that I heard on Cody was he only hit one home run his junior year, and that was the year that bats were taken. There was a problem with bats manufactured that year. And look, I'm no apologist for a kid. I'm no apologist for Hamilton High School. It's just a fact. That was the word that was out. It was bad bats. So I am working on that story today. I think it's a pretty cool story. Something to do with the bats. But you have the Dodgers playing Tampa Bay in the World Series. Game one is tomorrow night. They're playing in Arlington, Texas. I don't know if I'm a big fan of that stadium or not. I have yet to really make a decision. When I tune in and watch, it's like, It's not like, oh my gosh, that's beautiful, that's awesome. I was at Wrigley Field on Saturday. When I was in Chicago Saturday, I said, let's go down to Wrigley Field. Let's get some hot dogs right by Wrigley Field. Let's go cruise around. We walked around the entire area. Yeah, much different environment than watching hermetically sealed, sanitized Arlington, Texas stadium and say, okay, here we are at the World Series. That's just me. I'd much rather have it be in a little ballpark, little space. But I am looking forward to seeing how it plays out because you have this contrast in styles and the numbers, because it's an East Coast team in Tampa who's in a small market and you have big market LA, while everything else is going on, they may not be great numbers, but I think from a sporting standpoint, it's the best that we could do in this year of pandemic. There's no reason to not watch the World Series. There's no reason to not say, well, it's not the best teams that are out there. Well, it's pretty darn good. It's pretty compelling. At least to me it is. All right. We are going to stop for now. And we're going to be working throughout the day. When we have games like tonight, it means we'll be on the website throughout the afternoon and evening because the Cardinals play at 5:15 against the Dallas Cowboys. We'll be working on our TV show tonight as well. You'll see that content pop up on our website here at sports360az.com. We are self-funded. That means the sponsors that say, we believe in what you do, Brad, for the last 9 years, you will see their commercials. They will show up on our website, and we encourage you to support them. Thanks for being with us. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. Have a great day.